Episode number 2 of Tuesday Terror is brought to you by 1-800-PetMeds.com/Sigler, where you can save 10% on all prescription drugs for your family friend. Prescriptions and over-the-counter medications for itching, joint pain, arthritis, heartworm, flea and tick prevention, and any other issue your pet faces. Go to 1-800-PetMeds.com/Sigler. That link will save you 10% off of prices that are already lower than your vet's. And the medication is shipped right to your door. And now, on with our story.
Welcome to Tuesday Terror, an anthology of stories written by junkies and based in the Siglerverse. This podcast is for mature audiences only. It contains foul language, adult situations, and prolific graphic violence. If you're easily offended, you should not listen any further.
Greetings and salutations, my fellow junkies. Welcome to Tuesday Terror, episode number 2. If you missed the first episode, Tuesday Terror is the new junkie-spawned anthology based in the Siglerverse. Here's where you'll hear stories from your fellow junkies who have used Scott as their muse. Or Scott amused them so much they got uber creative. Something like that. In Scott Sigler's novel Infected, Perry Dossie is contaminated with triangular parasites which fall from the sky. He is forced to wage a war, both physical and mental, with himself. Today's story occurs tangential to Infected. Neighbors is written by Eddie Jones, edited and performed by Ariok Morningstar. Eddie is the author of the novel 7 Days and is currently working on Uprising. You can get a free PDF of 7 Days by going to his Lulu page. I have a link for that in the show notes. Some of you may know Eddie better by his Scott Sigler forum handle of TH Maggot. Stay tuned after the episode for a promo for the special limited edition hardcover novel of Fiends Volume 1 from Paul Elliott Cooley. Paul's a good friend of mine, and if you haven't checked out his writing, you really owe it to yourself to do so. Now sit back and enjoy today's Tuesday Terror Tale. Neighbors by Eddie Jones. Joe dug his fingernails into his left thigh and scratched hard, giving him temporary satisfaction before the burning sensation returned. He stood and observed the handgun that lay abandoned on his bedroom dresser. Did he have the balls, or was he just another pussy like all the rest? Joe reached down and grasped the cold metal handle with his trembling fingertips. His reflection in the mounted mirror shone back at him, piercing his self-esteem like 1,000 tiny needles. His eyes were ringed with black, displaying how little sleep he'd had in the past few days. His left eyeball moved around pointlessly in its socket, seeing only a slit of light through the purple flesh that surrounded his eye. He snarled at his reflection, hating what he'd become. Joseph jumped in place. He wheeled around, holding the pistol in front of him in one shaking hand. "Who's there?"
"Sir, open the door now."
Joe slowly lifted the back of his hoodie up and tucked the barrel of the Jericho 941 neatly into his waistband.
All right, I'm coming."
He took one last look around the room before striding into the hall to the door. Joe leaned into the peephole with his one good eye. 2 police officers were in the corridor, talking impatiently to each other. One leaned in and... making Joe flinch and step back from the door.
"Sir, open this door now, or we're going to come back with a warrant."
"I'm getting changed."
His voice sounded unfamiliar to him, like he'd never heard it before.
"Well, could you quickly put something on? We need to conduct a brief search of your apartment for your own safety."
Joe's heart hammered in his chest.
"They know! They know!"
Joe backed into his bedroom and opened the top drawer of his cupboard. He took a t-shirt and a black beanie from the drawer. He drew the Jericho from his pants and wrapped it in the shirt before burying it deep amongst the other neatly stacked clothes.
"Sir, are you ready?"
The professional voice said through the door, his voice echoing in the corridor.
"They know! They know! Kill them! Kill them!"
"Shut the fuck up," Joe muttered commandingly under his breath.
Yeah, I'm coming,"
Joe said in the same deep groan and slid the beanie onto his sweaty head, pulling it down to cover his swollen eye, leaving only a small gap through which he could see. After another look in the mirror, Joe crossed the apartment, slid the safety chain from the door, and opened it wide. The 2 officers stood before him,
both 4 or 5 inches shorter than him.
Yes?
Joe addressed the taller of the two. We have reason to believe there is a potentially dangerous man at large in this area. Would you mind if we took a second to search your house? Joe snarled for a second, his upper lip quivering, then nodded and stepped back to let the men in. The two cops walked past Joseph, each looking at the bulge underneath his hat suspiciously. Joe stood awkwardly at the doorway for a second before turning and pushing the door to. He suddenly felt the glare from one of the officers burning into the back of his head, and realized the sensation was not coming from him, but from the triangles.
Kill him now! Kill him now! Kill him now!
Joe barely resisted the urge to scream out as the voices screamed inside his head. Then the buzzing stopped. Joe turned and caught the officer quickly looking away and continuing into his kitchen.
Hatching! Our friends are hatching!
A shiver shot down Joe's spine, colder than he had ever felt before, even deeper than when he had been told he was terminally ill. The silence hit him harder than those terrifying words. Oh, shit. Joe's hands curled into fists as he slowly paced towards the men.
What the fuck happened to your eye?
The shorter officer pointed up in concern. Joe shivered again as he felt it move. Just... Joe's mind darted around his memories for a desperate excuse.
I just had a baseball accident, and then it got infected.
Infected. The word made Joe's spine buzz as if a microscopic needle was being repeatedly stabbed into his back at high speed. The officer nodded slowly, but Joe could tell he wasn't convinced. The men started to search every place somebody could possibly hide. Behind curtains, on the balcony, under the bed, and... oh shit. The bathroom. Joe slowly reached out and his numb, shaking hand clenched a kitchen knife's cold handle with a satisfaction that ran down to his toes. Joe slowly pulled the knife from the block and held it tightly behind his back. Joe stepped out of the kitchen as he heard the click and saw the first officer swing the bathroom door open.
Oh shit!
The short one coughed from the stench of rotting flesh. Joe walked forward and stopped at the doorway. The taller officer reached out with his free hand, the other clutching a tissue over his lower face. He grabbed the shower curtain and pulled it back. He looked relieved to find nothing but a few mouthfuls of vomit. His partner was standing transfixed with shock, staring at the sink. There was a rotting organism in the bowl which made the officer vomit violently onto the toilet's closed seat. He wiped the vomit from his mouth and reluctantly turned back for another look. The creature filled the sink's bowl, 3 points of a deformed triangle stretching to the sides. The tough purple skin was peeled back, revealing stringy, soft flesh stained black and purple. The texture resembled that of a split orange. Wormy black tentacles blossomed from the triangle's points. A ball of hair clung to the triangle's edge by a small flap of skin and blood. Joe's flesh. 3 eyes stared at the officer, empty but staring right into his soul. The man stepped back in fear, allowing Joe to see clearly into the room. Horror washed over Joe as he saw the growth in the sink through the open door. He felt warm inside, knowing that the thing was out of his body, but that didn't prevent the sickness he felt when he realized there was another on his face.
Hatching! Hatching! Kill now! 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 Now!
Joe's left hand came around his back to join the other and ran its index finger along the blade of the kitchen knife in hunger. Then the scream. The ear-splitting scream of terror filled the room. It didn't come from Joe's apartment, but from somewhere down below. The officers spun around so that everyone made eye contact.
Dossie!
That was the only word needed for the two of them to draw their weapons and sprint out of the apartment and down the corridor. This left Joe alone in the hallway, blood dripping down the length of his index finger, silently continuing to stain his carpet crimson. Joe's hand robotically reached up and removed the beanie from his head. His fingers let it fall to the floor. 2 worm-sized tentacles fell and hung limply in front of Joe's left eye. The growth had engulfed the whole left side of his face, covering most of his eye and stretching all the way up to his forehead. This tumor was not nearly as big as the parasite that had been embedded in his leg. That was the one currently residing in his bathroom sink. The hanging tentacles swayed slightly as he felt the triangle blink on his face.
You took my free will
invaded the privacy of my thoughts inside my head, and now you're going to take my sight? No fucking way. Joe lifted the kitchen knife and stepped towards the bathroom mirror. The blade shone in the bright light, glaring into Joe's intact eye. He snarled angrily and raised the knife, cocking it sideways so that the point was directed at the center of the triangle.
No, no, no! What are you doing?
The voice boomed inside Joe's head, making him wince. He reached for the sink to support himself. He would not faint. He snarled at himself in the mirror, hating what he'd become, loathing this thing on his face. Fuck you. Joe stabbed the knife hard into the triangle's eye.
No!
The voice screamed in his head, making his head throb with pressure, yet it was nothing compared to the searing agony that assaulted his face. The pain burned Joe's face, but he embraced it, stabbing harder and forcing black blood to trickle down his countenance. His screams of agony left his mouth wide open to receive the ebon ichor. There was minimal resistance as Joe yanked the knife out of the parasite. He braced himself for another hit and skewered the triangle once again. The pain exploded, even stronger than before. Joe saw red blood trickling down his face with his working eye. His blood. An evil grin spread across his face. How do you like that, you little fucks? Joe glared at himself in the mirror. The howling in his head intensified and Joe pulled the knife out of his face. He dropped the knife and heard it clatter across the tiled floor, splattering fresh blood everywhere. Joe staggered along the hallway as he headed towards his bedroom. He slammed the door open with the flat of his hand, leaving a large, bloody handprint on the varnished wood. Joe wrenched open the top cupboard drawer and rummaged desperately for his Jericho. He caught his reflection in the mounted mirror above the dresser and shivered with self-disgust. The triangle dangled from his face, mangled with its eyeball useless and concealed inside its orange flesh. Tentacles hung limp in front of Joe's eye. He pushed them away in frustrated anger as he located the pistol and unwrapped it. I'm gonna hunt you fuckers down and kill every single one of you, starting with Scary Perry, but first... Joe pulled up his shirt to reveal the large triangle hanging from his hip. I'm gonna fuck you up. Joe slid the safety off the pistol and held the barrel to the triangle. It blinked rapidly, squirming on his leg like a child about to be spanked.
No! Fuck no! Fuck no! We kill you! Kill you! Kill you! Kill you!
Joe felt the bullet smash his hip, shattering the bone after it sliced through the triangle like a drill. Joe screamed and fell sideways. His skull impacted forcefully against the door, and he collapsed to the floor. He was unconscious by the time his head hit the floorboards. Joe's fingers clenched the air as he pushed forward with his legs. His body slid slowly along the corridor's red carpet, staining it with black and red blood. He tried to ignore the pain. He needed to ignore the pain. He had to shut it out before it made him pass out again. Shards of broken bones stuck out of his hip. Blood rapidly saturated his trousers and flowed down his leg, leaving a crimson trail from his open apartment door to where he lay. Joe pulled himself across the carpet, aching with every move. He heard voices below and then... and a body hitting the floor. Joe clenched his teeth and moved towards the door to the stairway. After what seemed an eternity, Joe reached the door and pushed it open with a hand still gripping the Jericho. The door opened a few inches and then automatically pulled back, slamming into Joe's skull. He cursed and winced from the added pain but pushed forward, squeezing through the door that constantly pushed against him. Joe crawled to the top step and gripped the edge tightly with his free hand. He pulled forward with all the strength he could manage. He slid down for a second, then tumbled over, causing his legs to swing around and Joe to end up rolling down to the halfway landing where his legs crashed into the wall. Joe howled when he finally caught his breath. The roll had further dislocated his cracked ribs, ripping into the flesh around them. He narrowed his focus down to the task at hand, pointing his pistol down the hallway. It was empty. The door at the end of the hallway had been forced open and Joe could hear multiple people inside. He shivered and closed his eyes, then threw himself forward down the next set of stairs. Inevitably, he rolled, but he tried to bring his legs up to protect his lower torso. Joe felt his bones crackling together once again, and he completed his modern art composition of blood splattered throughout the stairwell. There were flames lapping out from the open door. Heat and smoke filled the room. It was becoming more and more difficult to drag his sluggish body forwards towards the voices. Several figures in biohazard suits came into view in the distance. Joe saw the figure of Perry Dawsey lying flat on the cold ground. Joe tried to shout, "I'll fucking kill you," but all that came out was, his voice masked by the bloody emissions created by a spluttering cough. Using the last of his fortitude, Joe pulled his knees underneath him. Scary Perry Dawsey was lying halfway down the corridor leading to the grounds. Joe raised the Jericho and tried to aim the shaking pistol from the doorway. As he went to squeeze the trigger, pain shot through his lower arm as a long piece of wood was brought down on his wrist. Joe dropped the gun and attempted to scream, but the blood filling his mouth wouldn't allow it. His body fell limply forward into a strong pair of arms, which dragged him into an apartment across from the burning room. The last thing Joseph saw before the wood came down upon his head was a blurry triangle on the exposed leg of his captor. The tentacles reached out for him hungrily as his vision went dark. For full details on how to get your story on Tuesday Terror, visit scottsigler.com/Tuesday Terror Submissions. I encourage you to please leave your thoughts about the show and or the story in our comments section of the blog. What do you like? What's not so good? We look forward to hearing your feedback. Talk to you next time.
The Vatican released an official statement today, condemning the lax response by the FBI in relation to what it calls the most profane
God provides me canvas. I provide God art.
This weekend, attend the largest tattoo convention in Texas, the Houston Tattoo Expo, at the George R. Brown Convention Center.
I need to be whole again.
An Amber Alert, the second this week, has been issued for the greater Houston area and suburbs. Brian Greeley,
Tony,
9-year-old at Hendricks Elementary.
What is the ice cream man?
Beans, Volume 1, the debut hardcover story collection from Parsec Award-nominated author Paul Ellard Cooley, is on sale now. Don't miss your chance to own one of the 250 signed, numbered, limited edition copies. For more information, please visit shadowpublications.com. We don't believe in happy endings.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of Tuesday Terror, produced by Morningstar Studios in conjunction with Dark Overlord Media. Music courtesy of the band Separation of Sanity. Check them out at reverbnation.com/separationofsanity. For more information on the Siglerverse, please visit scottsigler.com.